The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Off we go into another week. Brad Sesmat with you. Tony Mandrich, former All-American NFL lineman, a Scottsdale resident. You remember Tony Mandrich? One of the biggest busts in the history of the NFL. He'll even tell you that himself. We've had him on the show many, many times. We're going to talk about bullying in the NFL, the growing concussion concerns, and much more. But the bullying story over the weekend with the Miami Dolphins is the big national story. Tony Mandrich will talk right about that. If you're a Packer fan, a Colts fan, Michigan State fan, whatever. You remember Tony Mandrich, he'll join us. Always outspoken. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Weekly visit, the Suns fast start, Nick Foles going into the NFL record book. Also think that the newspaper that Paula writes for is doing a terrific series on the haves and have-nots of high school football, and she's involved in that. Actually, high school sports, she's involved in that. Paula Bovin, news and notes. She will check in with us here in a couple of minutes. I hope you had yourself a great sports weekend. We had all sorts of shenanigans and sad stuff. This is actually a hard weekend when you think about it. You had a coach that had an aortic valve situation, John Fox up at the Denver Broncos. He had a coach that went to his knees yesterday down in Texas with Houston's Gary Kubiak. And so the stress of being a head coach, we all have stresses, right? We all are pushed to the limits. How do you work through that? Coaches being pushed to the limits in the NFL has been a topic before, just coaches in general, the demands on them. To my understanding, Gary Kubiak's a pretty fit dude, and he's only 52 years of age, and yet there he was down on his knees at halftime last night in front of everybody to see. So there's all sorts of interesting angles and some tough stuff, too, that we want to get to. Todd Graham was on a plane with his son and almost went down this weekend. Man, tough. Here's Eric Sorensen now, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. He turned the big 4-0 on Friday.
Ta-da, still here. Yeah. Made it through the weekend.
Is Jared Cohen here today? Have we seen Jared? Is Jared in the box? In the
house? Bumping around here somewhere, yeah.
Tonight, do we have Family Feud? Tonight is the big night. Tonight is the night that we've all been waiting for, because tonight, actually part of your viewing pleasure tonight, one of our own here on the show, his family's on Family Feud.
What?
That's it.
We talked about this a little bit. Yep.
So we should probably have Jared roll on into the show, and we'll talk with him a little bit about his Family Feud appearance tonight. Here's the Facebook question of the day now by Eric.
Well, Brad, as you know, a record-setting day yesterday in Oakland for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
U of A quarterback, NFL tying 7 touchdowns against that great Raiders secondary. Whew. So today we ask you, is it the single greatest performance by a player with ties to an Arizona school? If not, what is?
Greatest single performance. Guy throws 7 touchdown passes.
I can't think of anything better. From an NFL performance by an Arizona
player. Are we talking just football then? Because Barry Bonds did some terrific things.
No, that's true.
But that's a baseball deal.
Yeah, I didn't really
specify
that.
Some people are saying roid it out.
Kind of open-ended, but...
No, I mean, it's...
I mean, Terrell Sachs had 2 huge sacks last year against Peyton Manning in the AFC playoff game.
Has Nick Foles been to a Super Bowl?
No.
So let's... should we tap the brakes and just chalk it up to the Raiders are just a bad defensive team?
But 7!
I know, it's 7.
7!
I know, and I didn't start him, but I started DeSean Jackson, which is all you need to know. Here we go. So that you can head over to facebook.com/sports360az, like our page.
Sorry, I should have told you that. That's my job to fill in those details, but thanks.
It's fine. Share your input. facebook.com/sports360az.com. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Pull down on that slot. We're off and running on another week tonight. You can head up to the casino and watch Monday Night Football, the Bears and Packers. You can eat some great food, have some fun. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino, the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. They've got New Year's Eve stuff. They're already starting to plan it. I know, we're less than 2 months away. I'm starting to push Christmas and New Year's. I can't believe it. All right, ASU at Utah is this Saturday. I want to start with the college football stuff because I'll get to the coaches' news and Tony Mandrich here in a couple of minutes. Tony Mandrich should be in a good mood because Michigan State beat Michigan. Not only beat them, they crushed them. just hammered them. So ASU controls their own destiny from here on out. That's the way it is. They have the schedule set up. They've had some breaks go their way. I've had some ASU people that have said, Brad, you're being too positive. They choked against Notre Dame. Notre Dame lost to Michigan. Michigan isn't any good. If ASU had just won that game, we'd probably be ranked somewhere in the top 15. Then I have the Wisconsin fans that like to point out that ASU's not that good, that it was a gift given to them by the officials. Whatever's the case, now it's at Utah this week. Dennis Erickson is up in Salt Lake City. I like the Dennis Erickson angle. Co-offensive coordinator. Their quarterback was hurt a couple of weeks back. They haven't quite been the same team. Here's Todd Graham. So Todd Graham was on a recruiting visit. Do we know where he was going on this recruiting visit?
He was headed to Dallas.
Heading to Dallas, going down to see somebody. And he was on a plane, and here's the coach.
Had a little depressurization, about 35,000 feet, so it was a little scary, but very very blessed to be here. We just had to make a little emergency landing in Albuquerque and then get another plane head on, but it was a little scary.
You ever been to one of those?
Not like that.
I remember when the Diamondbacks in 2002 lost to St. Louis, and I just finished doing the Diamondbacks stuff, and I got on a plane to come back to Phoenix, and we flew out in a lightning storm. And it was one of the worst lightning storms and one of the worst flights I've ever had. I got thrown all over the place. I was doing play-by-play once in Portland, and I had to get into Salt Lake City, and we had to fly in a snowstorm in Salt Lake City, and I thought, it's over. It's done. I will never see my three kids again. Just awful. Hate being in those situations. I'm not a scared flyer, but when you get thrown around and dropped and everything and people think it's fun, it's not fun. It's not fun. So now he can focus on football. At Utah, Eric's going to Utah. You're doing a flyby, huh?
Doing a day trip.
It's not a bad day trip, though, is it?
No.
When you think about it.
I'm going to have to sleep fast on Friday because we got some high school football playoffs.
What's the forecast?
Last time I saw it was it's going to be in the mid-50s.
You're going to be one of those.
Not terrible.
You're going to be all bundled up and look like a marshmallow down there on the sideline?
Of course.
The deal with Salt Lake City in that field, they have the crown of the field. That's where it's at its height. You actually, at Salt Lake City, you can stand on one sideline and not see the other sideline. If you throw a football, it actually disappears. The crown is so high. Unless they change that.
Gets a lot of rain and snow up there, so.
Arizona wins at Cal. BJ Dunker, remember when you and I had BJ Dunker on the show like in April and he was not very good on the air? He was just kind of like, well, dude, you're not going to be the guy anyways. We didn't say that, but we had heard about Scroggins. We'd heard about the kid up in Anu Solomon. We'd heard about these guys. I watched the game, and I understand it's Cal. I understand they're not good. But B.J. Denker did a nice job of running the offense. You put him alongside of Kadeem Carey. The former Basha High kid, Nate Phillips, from up here, has four touchdowns already for the U of A. I like where they're going. It's not the best offense in the conference. And yeah, let's see how they do against tougher competition. They got some tougher games coming up. But B.J. Denker for Rich Rodriguez is playing well right now.
You know, he's getting more and more confidence each and every day. You know, it's just his second year in the system, but he's a great competitor. He made some big-time plays, and I really thought he managed the game well.
There was the Cardinals. They were off this weekend. They host the Texans. Let me go back on college for just a second. So this Thursday, you have Oregon at Stanford. This week is one of those huge weeks in college football. You have Alabama and LSU. Most people aren't giving them a shot. You have Auburn sitting there with one loss. Well, you talk about Gus Malzahn, coach of the year in college football, I'd say that's the good call to make. If you look around the Pac-12 conference this weekend, I watched some of UCLA against Colorado. UCLA doesn't look as sharp as they did earlier in this year, or Colorado's getting better. UCLA didn't put their foot down on Colorado and push and squeeze. USC, I think ASU benefited greatly. From having a chance to play USC when they did, because the Trojans are getting better and better and better. On the pro football front, we mentioned briefly off the top about what happened with coaches and all that. The Denver story, this is not to make light of John Fox and his heart valve trouble. So Denver named Jack Del Rio the guy on an interim basis today. There was conversation all weekend long about why he wasn't named the coach immediately. And the speculation, and I talked to some college people, Jack Del Rio's name is one of those that's out there for the USC head coaching job. So if he takes the job with the Broncos and the Trojans and Pat Hayden want to hire Jack Del Rio and the Broncos go into the playoffs, and we don't know about John Fox coming back, could Jack Del Rio have been saying, you know, I thought I had this SC gig all lined up, and instead, I'm not sure I want this job. Denver Broncos, USC Trojans. Denver Broncos, USC Trojans. For now, he's the head coach of the Broncos. We're going to talk with Tony Mandrich here in a couple of minutes about the story of Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. If you haven't heard about it over the weekend, by now, it's gone mainstream. Is Jonathan Martin, an offensive lineman for the Dolphins, mentally weak? Or did he have a right to stand up for himself? This offensive lineman, who the Cardinals liked last year, if I remember right, the Cardinals liked Jonathan Martin out of Stanford last year. There was DeCastro and Martin that came out in the draft together, the Stanford offensive lineman. Martin feared retribution from Incognito. Richie Incognito suspended by the team. The report is that Martin felt pressured to pay $15,000 for a trip to Vegas for the offensive lineman, even though he didn't want to go. That Incognito was one of those that was bullying him. What's interesting to me is Incognito was elected as one of the five players by his teammates as the Dolphins' board of directors. They have a board of directors among the players. So within the locker room, Richie Incognito was viewed as one of our leaders. Whether you don't like him, and most people didn't before this event, or you just feel like you have a mentally weak guy there in Jonathan Martin. Here's Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Incognito's situation with Martin wasn't the only one.
It's been a year and a half of persistent alleged bullying of Martin and other players and employees in the building.
So this has been going on. Some of you, and we'll talk with Tony Mandrich on the other side about this, where does the line for bullying start and stop? Has hazing run its course? Guys over 40 would say, well, hazing, that's just part of it. Eric, you're 40 now. Is hazing just part of the deal?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah. Is hazing just part of the deal?
No.
All right.
It's ridiculous.
Kerry Taylor just tweeted out he signed with Jacksonville. So the question is, who replaces Justin Blackmon? Kerry Taylor, the former Hamilton Husky. Am I going to pick him up on my fantasy team? I don't know. On the other side, Tony Mandrich joins us next. I'm Brad Sussman. It's Good Monday here on the Brad Sussman Show. On Twitter, at Brad Sussman, C-E-S-M-A-T. Of course, sports360az.com. White Mountain Radio. Good to have the people. White Mountain Radio is part of what we do from our Scottsdale studios. Pleasure to have with us now. We've had him on in the past. Former Consensus All-American NFL lineman, Scottsdale resident, Tony Mandrich. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you, Brad?
Good. Good to hear your voice again. Just right off the top, let's get right into this. What do you make out of what's going on in Miami with the Dolphins and the Incognito and Jonathan Martin case?
Well, it's interesting. You can do rookie hazing and there's stuff even that they made us do in Green Bay and buying dinners and stuff like that. And donuts on a Friday morning, and there's things that go on behind the scenes that, you know, most fans don't know about that are kind of, that would fall into a hazing category or what I would consider like an initiation thing, kind of rules unwritten, but, you know, look, you're a rookie only once, and, you know, this is what you got to do, you got to buy donuts on Friday. So, but I guess this goes, you know, a lot deeper, and then the fact that there was some, you know, racial, I don't know if it was a racial slurs or something along those lines on a voicemail. I mean, now this is going, to the next level, definitely to the next level. And Miami doesn't obviously want to be associated with it. So in the short term, they obviously take immediate action and do what they did and suspend them, you know, indefinitely because, well, you know, why? Because contract detrimental to the team. So would not surprise me if they released them within the next, or I would say before the end of this week, because I read the story and was surprised, and then the story just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I guess he's had a history of doing some things where he's had altercations with head coaches and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a pattern, and I guess he's even admitted it and said he's gotten therapy for anger management and stuff like that, but which is good, which I think is great. When somebody wants to improve themselves and they recognize the problem, I think that that's fantastic. God knows I've had them. but he obviously has more work to do.
I'm curious on this. Tony Mandrich with us for a couple of minutes. Can these two, you mentioned the possibility of releasing Incognito. Could the two of these ever line up side by side as teammates again?
I would say I highly doubt it. I think that too much has happened. Some things you just can't write that you're wronged. And I think there's just, you know, too much. There'd be too much friction, too much. And again, that's my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
If the guy was, you know, Anthony Munoz or some, you know, like guy where you start to look at the talent, right? I mean, and I'm not taking anything away from either one of these guys' talents. They're obviously in the NFL, they're great talents. But if it's somebody that is like a key offensive lineman that's been a, you know, Pro Bowler for 10 years, that will carry weight in the decision. And they may tell you it won't, but it will, because if you lose a key offensive lineman because of behavior like this, you know, you'll maybe be a little bit lighter on the penalty or the suspension or whatever happens. If it's a guy that's just one of your linemen, it's a lot easier to act.
You know, it's interesting on this, Tony, is Incognito was elected as one of the five players by his teammates to the Dolphins board of directors. Okay. Which tells me, so they have a board of directors among players, but it tells me that there was some respect within the locker room towards Incognito. So the other side is, here you have Jonathan Martin. Can Jonathan Martin ever return into an NFL locker room when there are some, I'm not saying everybody, when there's some that are saying, man, you are mentally weak?
Well, you know, it reminds me of when Nick Saban made that guy cry from Miami a couple years ago when he was the head coach of the Dolphins. And, you know, I mean, listen, it wouldn't happen to me. And because I would throw my foot down,
yeah.
and I'd say enough's enough, and I don't care if I'm a rookie or if I'm a veteran, enough's enough. That being said, if I was a veteran and I saw it happening, I would step in. It would never even reach the coaches, but you know, a lot of these things go unseen, unheard, right? Because they happen off the field or away from the facility. So, if he's elected as one of the, you know, five guys that, you know, rep the players or the locker room or the guys on the team, obviously, and it's election by his teammates,
right,
obviously he has respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that being said, is the other guy a whistleblower? Well, you know, it's a tough one to say. I mean, people have been bullied, you know, but when people think of bullying, they usually think of high school or younger.
Right.
But bullying happens in real life as adults, and now this is a situation where, yeah, this could fall under the class of bullying, but you're talking about an NFL player. So, you know, me personally, it never would have got that far because I would have put my foot down. But that being said, he probably never would have pursued me that way.
It could be an abuse of power too on his part. Like,
absolutely.
So teammates,
being one of those, you know, five, you know, selected guys and kind of, you know, took advantage of that power. You know, so many things are going on behind the scenes that, you know, we're going off the news that we're getting.
Right.
So, you know, and I know there's a whole different story behind the scenes. Some of the stuff that's written right now on the internet and stuff is true, and I'll bet you just as much of it is not true and not accurate. So, you know, I'll be the last to judge because of all the mistakes I made. But the thing is, you know, Jonathan Martin doesn't just make things up. I mean, people usually don't make things up out of the blue. So, and it was reported that even Jonathan Martin had gone to the head coach and talked about it.
Yeah.
In the spring. So, you know, either he's, you know, been coddled his whole life but I mean, if you're coddled your whole life, I mean, to make it to the NFL, you have to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
You have to go through some tough days throughout college, and then to make it to the pros, and then to make the team, you have to be pretty tough.
Well, and you also have to figure too, Tony, that when he went through the combine and went through all the pre-draft interviews, that there would have been something along the way that would have said Jonathan Martin doesn't like to be, you know, pushed around, doesn't like to be taken advantage, whatever term, but you would think there'd be something along the way that would say this guy may not work well with other teammates. I could be wrong on that, but I just think of all the psychological stuff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they do so much. And I know now at the Combine, they do way more, you know, background and character checking and stuff like that because of things like this. You know, you could have all the talent in the world, and if your character is really bad and you're taking a gamble, you know, a lot of teams will shy away from that, a person like that. And a lot of teams will think that they can rehabilitate. A lot of teams, you know, so a lot of teams will take chances, and a lot of teams will just wash their hands from the person. But yeah, you would think a red flag would show up at the combine just because of all the written tests you got to take and the interviews you do with coaches. You know, you're going to get a vibe from a player, and I say a player, but you're going to get a vibe from a human being on what type of human being that is. You know, is it someone who's soft? You know, when I say soft, it's like, can somebody take advantage of them, or are they going to stand up for themselves and things like that?
Before I let you go, so. You've said a couple times, you know, we're talking with Tony Mandrich, a couple times you would have put your foot down. Did you have to put your foot down for your situation as your career unfolded with teammates?
So you're asking, when would I have?
Did you? I'm wondering,
did you ever?
Yeah.
You know what? I did. I did in Green Bay. There was, you know, I won't mention his name, but there was a guy in Green Bay who was an offensive lineman who was a starter, who I played with, and let me just say this, his motives were not in the right place. And later on, many years later, when I sobered up and I was playing with Indy, I saw him at a hotel when we were playing in San Diego. And he walked up to me, and he was there because he knew some other players. He was already out of the league. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, hey, how are you and stuff. Well, no, you know, I was a whole different person. I mean, I was sober, clear-eyed, big, again, strong, not the person that he was, you know, bad-mouthing and stuff like that. And, you know, I shook his hand, and I told him, I said, you know, I'll never forget what you did, and just so you know that. And it was kind of my subtle way of saying, you know, I haven't forgotten, you know, the stuff you did in Green Bay, even though none of it was physical abuse, but there was verbal abuse. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, ignored it.
Yeah, you let it go with that. So are the Spartans going to go anywhere special? Was this a good weekend for you? Kicked Michigan all over the place. Come on.
I mean, they punished them.
Crushed them. Destroyed them.
They punted. I mean, the defense is just so good, and the offense has gotten better. I mean, the offense is by no means a juggernaut, but they've gotten better, and obviously we've still got a few games left, and then hopefully, you know, it looks like we're going to be in the Big Ten Championship. But, you know, Ohio State, boy, they're tough, and, you know, Urban Meyer's undefeated since he's been there. Last year they were on suspension, so Ohio State, and you don't want to jump ahead. You don't want your players, you don't want to think ahead because the next most important game is this Saturday.
Oh, come on. Think ahead.
You know, it's
come
true,
on.
Though. It's, you know,
I know. You're right.
I think
right.
It's been drilled into my head too many times.
I'll let you go off that. Good visiting with you as always. Stay in touch, and we'll catch up down the road.
All right, my man. Have a great day.
See you, Tony. It's Tony Mandrich, former Consensus All-American NFL lineman, Scottsdale resident. Offensive lineman. View of an offensive lineman of offensive lineman against offensive lineman and bullying. Very good. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist on the other side. Brad Susmat with you. We do a lot of NFL stuff. We have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network with us every Wednesday, guys. I am killing it in my fantasy league. I took Michael's advice and benched Andrew Luck and started Terrell Pryor. Probably should have stuck with Luck. No, I still got 20 points out of Pryor. Man, I picked up Justin Blackmon because Michael said to. And that turned out to be a really smart move. No, I love Michael. It was right at the time. We have some fun with this. He joins us every Wednesday. Paula Bovin's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Susmat.
Here's the notes of Paula Bovin. Of course, a week ago, Paula said the Suns will be 2-1, probably 3-0, and almost beat Oklahoma City. And I agreed with her. Of course, a week ago at this time, we said that ASU is going to be going for a Pac-12 South championship. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just pointing out that every week we talk about stuff, and then there's some things that come true.
Right.
And some things that do not.
That's true.
Like, like the Suns, for instance. I'll get to them in a minute. I do want to say right off the top that I think it's really cool that you and your cohorts at AZ Central are taking on a subject of the haves and have-nots in high school football. And if you've not taken the time to go to their website, azcentral.com, or to go subscribe, or to go pick it up, it is well worth your time to do it because it is just staggeringly haves and have-nots. Well done. Good piece of journalism. Are you writing on any of this later in the week?
Yeah, I have a piece running on Wednesday where I sort of explore what's happened with the Phoenix Union High School District. And, you know, as someone who didn't grow up here and not until doing this story really sort of appreciate how dominating that school district was at one time and how much, you know, they've suffered mostly because of the way the city changed and people moving out to the suburbs and other things. But, you know, now is when they're really sort of, despite the efforts of their administration, are really struggling with it, you know, with sports. They don't have the revenue to deal with it.
And when I see most read stories, that story yesterday and today is right near the top of your list. So people do care about this stuff.
They do. You know, a lot of people, not just people even who have kids in high school, but people who have some perspective on the history in this town, too. I think it's been pretty interesting for them. So,
okay, let's talk bullying here. So we had Tony Mandrich on in the last segment, and he was terrific on what's going on down in Miami and just seeing it from a lineman's standpoint. Have you seen and covered bullying through the years?
I have. You know, And I'm really, really fascinated by the story, Brad, because it's happening at happening at such a high level. I mean, we talk a lot about it in high schools and with younger kids. It's been a prevailing storyline. But, you know, this is different, and this is an area people don't usually have a peek inside the arena of the NFL locker room and the relationships. So I'm really intrigued by the story.
Because from a locker room standpoint, the Suns, I think, is probably the Suns are the Diamondbacks, the World Series team, or the Suns team with Charles. You can go through those locker rooms because they were at such a high level. The Dolphins aren't a very good football team.
They're,
no. And so you have a 9-year vet and a 2nd-year kid. 9-year vet's doing some things, a 2nd-year kid who he wants to see him pay $15,000 for a trip to Vegas, whatever else is out there. That's one thing. If it's Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling not really seeing each other eye to eye and not really getting along with one another, or Kevin Johnson and Charles Barkley, that's not bullying. It's just the relationship between the locker rooms. So I do find that fascinating as well.
Yeah, and, you know, also, I mean, this is a kid who went to high school here and who experiences have been documented. I know years ago, SI did a story kind of talking about how the assistant coaches at his high school in Glendale kind of, you know, he was bullied himself as a young guy incognito, and he was overweight. And so they used to use that as fuel to motivate him, and they'd have to break up scraps all the time with him in high school because he'd kind of use that as motivation. And so there's a lot of layers to this story, but, you know, it's interesting. People are reacting with this, you know, can an NFL player really be bullied? These are tough guys, but, you know, I think it can enter this sort of world too.
Oh, I have no question that it can be. If you have a vet who's saying, look, you got to drop $15,000 on a trip to Vegas, and the 2nd-year kid is making, you know, $400,000, that will sound like a lot of money, and it is to a lot of people.
Right.
But it's not in the grand scheme of things. And if this happens over and over and over, at some point, if the kid didn't know how to get out of it, if he went to some people in the organization, they just said, hey, tough it out.
Right.
And he couldn't assimilate to that. I do think that does happen at the highest level. I'm not surprised by this story, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's
no.
Grown men, and sometimes grown men will just be grown men.
Right. And I think, you know, so many of us sort of don't have a insight into that culture. You know, these are people who every day they're pounding each other in practice, and there's just aggression, and they're taught aggression. And then they take it into the locker room, and a lot of times, I see it with the Cardinals all the time, and dock it, but it's in a much more playful manner. He kind of picks on the younger guys.
Sure.
And, I mean, that is prevalent. But I would imagine there has to be a line somewhere, you know, and is it how much you have to spend for their trips to Hawaii as a rookie or, you know, where is the line? I think that's the really tricky part for people.
Paula Bovin with us, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Are you surprised with the Suns' early showing?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they're much must-watch TV for me now, and I didn't think I'd say that before the season.
Really?
You know? Yeah, it's just, I mean, Bledsoe. I can't get enough of sort of watching him and his skills and the different lineups that Hornacek's putting in and the fact that they're, you know, at least for now, they're in every game and going to be in every game. And so, I'm very entertained by them right now.
Okay, so I'll say this. I did watch the entire second half last night.
Okay.
But I also saw Eric Bledsoe as a man on an island who ran out of gas. He had 26 points, 14 assists, 3 steals. Dragic gets hurt. There's nobody behind him. They're in a back-to-back. They play tonight against the Pelicans.
Right.
The Pelicans.
I know.
So, but my point on this is it wouldn't surprise me to see them get drilled tonight because Bledsoe is their best player.
Sure.
And I just think depth is going to be an issue as the season goes along. They're playing defense, though, for the first time in forever of hearing this, oh, we're going to get it done defensively. And it never happened. It doesn't matter if it's Lindsey or Alvin or D'Antoni or just keep going back. It's never been the case. And through three games, I kind of like what I'm seeing defensively out of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all know, I mean, for the most part, defense is certainly about your talent level. But defense is also very much about buying into the coach and believing it and putting the effort in. And I know it's only three games, but you see that total commitment to defense. And that, you know, that's a credit, at least right now, to the coaching staff, that this group of players really believes in what they're doing.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports. ASU at Utah, are you going?
I am going, yes.
You doing a day trip?
I'll go Saturday, come back Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Maybe you and EO fly up together and have a beverage or something. I don't know. Eric's going to make the trip as well. Are you doing the Dennis Erickson piece?
I am, yes. I've just, in fact, reached out to him this morning to... I'm hopeful he will call back.
Yes, and we are too. So that's one of those angles that we like a great deal. I don't know if it means anything, Paula, around this game.
Right.
But Utah's offense doesn't look very good. Their quarterback was hurt. They're -7 in the takeaway column.
Right.
This is really a game that I thought at the start of the year, boy, going to Utah and winning is going to be difficult. It really shouldn't be if ASU just plays like they've shown the last couple weeks.
I agree. I think based on what I've seen, you know, in the last 2 weeks against this team, how strong they opened up against Washington State. I don't think this is a concern at all. As long as they're sort of mentally at that place where they're not going to overlook it, I haven't seen that from ASU this season, so I don't think that's the case. But you're right. I mean, they are absolutely putting themselves in a position to be battling for that Pac-12 title.
And Kadeem Carey, you picked up the torch. You're the one nationally. Hey, he should be given Heisman consideration. I was happy to see that.
Well, just, you know, again, for me, it's at least include him in the conversation. I mean, how do you lead the nation in rushing and put those back-to-back games like he's put together and, you know, at least have him in the conversation? I think you can make strong arguments for a lot of people right now in the country, but at least talk about it.
But I think for him, he's got to do it against teams that are nationally ranked, teams
right.
That have national. So they have UCLA this week, all right? So this is a week for Kadeem Carey. If he really wants to get into the mix,
right,
he would probably need Mariota to play horribly against Stanford on Thursday, which could happen. Stanford's defense did a nice job against Mariota in Oregon last year.
Yeah, it could happen. I think you're right, though. I think at the very least there's going to be some people who haven't been paying attention who will now pay attention to him because it's going to be a more high-profile game against a high-profile opponent. So I agree. I think that's going to help him.
Okay, a couple of lastly, because it's a big sports week. Are you going to NASCAR this week? Going out to the track? Are you out on NASCAR?
I am not. I have usually in the past have been involved, but this year just so much any other things going on, I'm not going to be out there. But we will have people.
Okay, we will have people.
Yeah. Yes.
And then coaching stress. Have you seen and covered coaches that worried you the amount of workload that they were taking on board? This is a topic today with John Fox, obviously,
sure.
and also Gary Kubiak. Have you covered coaches where it's you've seen it get to them or you were concerned about it?
You know, I think I've been concerned with almost every coach I've ever covered because I see sort of that, you know, explosiveness on the sideline and just the emotion during a game and the intensity. And I think as I've covered this business more and more and seen where salaries have gone with coaches, I think that puts more on pressure on them to succeed. And, the knowledge that they are have the weight on the world on their shoulders because they're basically, at least at the college level, supporting universities' athletic programs. And so I've sort of feared it, I guess, for lack of a better word, for all coaches, because I don't know how you endure those kind of demands either at the college or NFL level and not feel stress, right? I mean, how can you not?
I was a little concerned for Bruce Snyder towards the end.
Yeah, certainly Bruce as well as anybody. I agree with you. I mean, I think it becomes a real issue.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Talk soon.
You too, Brad.
Paula Belvin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. The segment of the show brought to you by Simply Sell It Now. Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, and boats. Hey, you got a car, an RV, a boat, motorcycle hanging around? You're like, what am I doing with this? Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront cost, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price. They even close the deal, handle all the paperwork. It's very simple, guys. Go to simplysellitnow.com. Simplysellitnow.com. On the other side, there was a couple of stories over the weekend in Arizona that caught my eye. One of them involves high school football and figuring out who's supposed to be in the playoffs, and that got all screwed up over the weekend. Like, come on, guys, really? And a little bit more on this coaching, workaholic coaches angle that I want to get to, and some college football as well. It's Good Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, White Mountain Radio. Good Monday on White Mountain Radio. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Day in, day out, getting it done in the world of sports 24-7. You can follow us on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. You can also follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ on Twitter. Right, Eric? Sports360AZ on Twitter.
Correct.
You're on Twitter, too.
I am.
Jared Cohen's on Twitter as well.
At Eric Sports360AZ. Imagine that.
That's pretty tough. Eric is on the prowl tonight. You'll be watching tonight, as I will be, Jared Cohen of Sports 360 AZ on Family Feud, which is tonight.
Big buildup.
Huge buildup. So this segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, for all your automotive needs, when we're talking about Ford, we're talking about the great name of Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright at Santan Ford because they're big fans, not just of their product, they're fans of the community. I was over at Santan Ford just about a month ago, and I was sitting with Bob Johnson, really good guy over there, handles a lot of their community stuff, and he was talking about the busiest time of year that's coming up, which is now. They have NASCAR this week. They're involved in so many charitable organizations, giving donations, being involved, shaking hands, selling cars. It's all part of being involved in the community. That's why I'm one of the faces, voices of Santan Ford. You need to swing on in there for your next car, your next truck. You're looking for that Ford, new or used. I'm driving the Fusion Hybrid, 4:45 this morning. I'm on the road, heading to go work out, going to some business meetings, getting it done here with the show. Afterwards, going to run downtown, do a couple of business meetings, pick up my son, have some fun this afternoon, do some work tonight. It's all in the car that I am comfortable in. That's the Fusion Hybrid at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, it's all about you. So Richie Incognito, Mountain Ridge High School here in the Valley. So this is something that goes way back, and Paula was talking about it earlier. The transcripts of a voicemail message and text messages from the Miami Dolphins' Jonathan Martin to Richie Incognito indicate a pattern of, actually, text messages left for Jonathan Martin by Richie Incognito. Let me get that right. Indicate a pattern of racial epithets and profane language. So a text message transcript of a voice message that Incognito left for Jonathan Martin in April of this year. I'm going to say some words here or give some bleeps here. It's pretty graphic. So here's the transcript of the voice message that Incognito left for Martin. This was in April of this year. Hey, what's up? You half N blank piece of blank. I saw you on Twitter. You've been training 10 weeks. I want to blank in your blanking mouth. I'm going to slap your blanking mouth. I'm going to slap your real mother across the face. Ha, ha, ha. Blank you. You're still a rookie. I'll kill you. That's enough to get in trouble a little bit.
Nice teammate.
So I'm sure that by the time we get through today, that he'll be out of the league. And I'm also sure that by the time we get through today, the players' union will try to figure out a way to keep him in the league. Even though the players' union should take people like this and say, this is not conduct that is in a workplace. This is harassment within a workplace. Guys, if you're going to give me that this is just locker room and this is just playful, that's not playful. That's not. Now, should Jonathan Martin have handled this man-to-man? What does man-to-man exactly mean? That you go up to the guy and you throw him to the ground and you start pounding on him or he starts pounding on you? Is that what man-to-man means in this day and age? Or is that the only way you know how to act if you're a football guy? Can you walk up to a guy and sit him down and say, this is going to stop. And if it doesn't stop, I'll try to make it stop, or I'll go elsewhere to make this stop.
And who's to say he didn't do that?
We don't know that he did or didn't. You're right. We don't know that. Martin left the team last week after a lunchroom incident. It was spaghetti, by the way, that he threw on the floor. It is unknown whether and when Martin plans to return to the team. He has until tomorrow, the Dolphins have until tomorrow to take him off the non-football related illness list. So they have until tomorrow to figure out what to do on that front. But you know now that this is going to be a players union thing, and you know that there's going to be, today there'll be every last question at the Cardinals facility today. They'll get around to Houston eventually, but it'll be about bullying in the locker room. And everybody's going to want to stand off to the side and wait for Darnell Dockett to walk in because Darnell will have something funny to say about it. And most everybody else will say, that's not tolerated. That's not cool. We don't do that here. I'm just telling you what's going to be on at 5 and 6 and 10 tonight. It's going to be the same old stuff. I'd be very surprised if it was somebody that came out and said anything at all. They'll talk about Bruce Arians and how is he overworked for his age because look at what happened to Gary Kubiak and look at what happened to John Fox and the stress angle. That's pretty easy too. Easy day. That stuff, you read through this one transcript. Now, how many of these were there? I thought it was interesting yesterday how the morning started out with Richie Incognito threatening Adam Schefter. I'm going to shut you up. Well, all that Adam did was continue to do his job. There's certain people that are insiders in their given professions that you don't question what they put out. You may want to question it, what their motive is. But he wasn't going to screw around with this type of story and just put some stuff out there that one agent fed him. Probably has some people within the organization with the Dolphins that are probably now feeding it to him, saying, okay, let's get this guy out of here. This is called damage control. We're going to go do the right thing. Is there any way, shape, or form that Miami wins on this if they keep Richie Incognito and release Jonathan Martin? No, it's a second round pick. Forget about the cap stuff because there are going to be people that are going to try to figure out the business side of it. Here's the business side of it. You have a guy that's treating a teammate in this way. So you have to draw your line, not just in the sand, but in the cement and say, this is fine. The kid's got to grow up. The kid's got to be tougher. It's the kid's fault. Or B, no, this guy has to go. Because as I asked Tony Mandrich earlier, I cannot see a scenario where the two of them line up alongside of one another again, because they're on the same side of the line. I can't see where they line up alongside of one another and find a way to work together as teammates. If your trust is broken with a teammate, there's been times through the years where I've let Eric down. There's been times through the years where Eric has let me down. It doesn't happen very often, but it happens in business. It happens whatever profession you're in. The guy that you're closest to, there's just going to be natural times where you get angry at each other. You may get pissy with each other. You may be totally in love with each other, but you're going to have those moments, those days. If your teammate is next to you, and I consider everybody here that I work with as teammates, if they were to do this sort of thing, is it acceptable because we're not football players? No, it's not acceptable. Just because somebody says, well, I'm a football player, doesn't mean that you have to put up with this because you don't know how often this has happened.
And Incognito's been a problem child for a long time.
No,
I mean,
he went
to Nebraska, got kicked out of Nebraska, went to Oregon, never played at Oregon. He hasn't been really bounced around in the NFL. I mean, clearly the guy's got talent, but it's not like he's the, you know, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. This isn't, he's not going to be a legend in the NFL. And this is something that's been going on all the way back from, like you said, when he was just a little kid and he was the one game bully.
But is the, but let me throw this at you. You mentioned he has talent. Does he have more talent than this?
No.
Okay. And so does the NFL have a lack of talent at it, at most any position, but offensive linemen, let's just say offensive linemen, that you're willing to overlook something that you may know behind the scenes? And you may have known this. I've known certain players with organizations here in town through the years where I've been told, Brad, off the record, this guy has this going on, and we're just holding our breath.
Oh, and you try to cover up the warts. I mean, I compare it a little bit to Michael Beasley. Like, the Suns gave him a couple chances, and then finally, it's just like, all right.
They had to know he's a pothead.
You have, quote, finger quotes, talent.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're a headache. You're a knucklehead. You're a bad representation of what we're trying to be as a franchise by. And we'll even pay you to leave.
Okay, so, and for Roger Goodell, who's trying to run the NFL and make it look like they have the concussion issue under control, the anger management issue under control.
All kinds of messes.
The kid last week that went off.
Laundry list of messes right now in the NFL.
Yeah, Abdullah, who just went off on the mental health side of it. Clearly, there's a mental health situation.
Well, coaches collapsing at halftime of NFL games.
Yeah. But in the Incognito case, it's not like he just said, hey, dude, take my pay. You've got to pay for all of us to go to Vegas. This clearly is not a first phone call either, in my mind. There had to have been some other instances where I've got to toughen up this kid. This kid just doesn't get it. And I've been around those. I've been around guys that don't think it's a big deal to drop a racial epithet, okay? They'll just drop an N-word because that's how they were raised. It's not that big of a deal. Well, you know what? It is a big deal.
Oh, no, and this is taking it to a whole another level, Brad. Right. I mean, it's one thing if you're at training camp and you tape a rookie to the goalpost, or if you're a Diamondback and a rookie makes a game-winning hit and you throw a pie in his face or put bubble gum on his hat. This is when you're talking about racial slurs and death threats to a teammate.
Yeah. So I'm surprised by now, but you know the players you know get involved. I'm just saying that just when everything seems like it makes sense and that they've got it all figured out, the players union will come along and say, well, we're here to protect the player. Of course you are. Of course you are. So, you know, let's not get too over the top on this right away. NASCAR is coming to PIR this week. Looking forward to that. Jimmy Johnson takes the lead in the chase. Got about a minute left in this segment. Over the weekend on Saturday, there's a governing board that looks over all of high school football, all of high schools, I should say, high school athletics. And it's called the AIA. And the AIA has had their fair share of critics, and most of it, I think, is well-founded, and most of it, most of the time, I look at it and say, there's got to be better ways to run this. Some very nice people down there. So Saturday morning, they announced their brackets for the playoffs, get all these kids excited to see who they're playing, except about after a half hour, they figured out, oh, wait, we didn't factor in some of the games. So there's some high schools that were told they were going to the playoffs. They didn't go. They had to come back a while later and say, oops, we screwed up. Here's now the final results. You don't screw up playoffs, guys. There's no good explanation for screwing up playoffs. It's a joke. Follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com is our website. I'm Brad Sussmat on White Mountain Radio.